Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Oh my goodness, man, we've had quite the week. We really already have. I mean, even in this extremely desolate stretch of the college football schedule, you know, our fake news is real, and our real news is fake. Okay, the fake news being that there's spring ball. Yay! Boo! Silence. Nobody really cares.
That's true.
Yeah.
No further comment.
The real news being this, that we have, of all things, a highly successful fundraiser. That's right. That's right. The final total for the EDSBS fundraiser. And man, I don't ever want to have another one because of the title we ended up with. Okay? Like the total that the commentariat managed to pull together. $69,069.69 raised for New American Pathways. I ask you, is that a phenomenal total? Yeah. Yeah, that's a really great total. It's a record. So I thank every single one of you for donating to my favorite refugee service organization. I'm beyond chuffed, beyond pleased with the effort. I will also state, I want to ask both Jason and Ryan, which school gets credit for rounding off the total at the bell to the grand total of $69,069.
So, 69 cents. Who had the last donation?
Yeah, what school did that? Just guess. Like,
I'm going to guess. I hope it's Arizona State.
Jason?
That's a pretty mathematical number, and I know Georgia Tech had put a lot of money in this, so let's play the odds and go Tech.
Mm-hmm. You play the odds. And Ryan played what seemed spiritually correct. And I will tell you that Ryan is right!
Yes!
It was an Arizona State grad who took us to the $69,069.69, which I ask you, why then should you not consider Arizona State? Yeah, I already went to undergrad. Who cares? Just go again. Just pick it back up.
Yeah, it's like a
yeah, it's like a roll. It's exactly like a roller coaster. Just be like, hey, can I get back in line? Can I get back in line? Can I go on Arizona State again? Yeah, man.
Everybody can go back and get a second undergrad degree, especially if it's Arizona State. Because you know what? Chances are, if you went to like, you know, some extremely expensive Northeastern private school, you didn't do college right anyway. You got to go back and do it again. And you know where you can do it right? Arizona State. Tempe, Arizona.
Even if you already went to Arizona State once, and you're like, oh man, I threw up. Can I go again? They're like, yeah, man, everybody throws up on Arizona State. It's fine.
So what's the most Arizona State degree?
Criminal justice.
Turfgrass. Okay. Turfgrass marketing.
Criminal turfgrass. All right, so you're like, I already got a criminal turfgrass degree. But I don't really want any other degrees. Bro, go back there and get a second criminal turf grass
golf
degree.
Course investigations. Yep.
You mean like a master's in swimming pool accounting? No, I mean a second undergrad in swimming pool accounting.
This is strictly for manslaughter committed on putt-putt courses.
I have an MBA, but it's only limited to suntan facilities.
Yeah. Point being, thank you, Arizona State. Not only did you cap off the donations, you did so in a manner which I think is spiritually correct. Spiritually correct, apt, well done all around. The winner this year, we typically manage to score everything by school and make our donations themed, and then traditionally there's some sort of payoff. Yeah, the payoff again, it's Michigan. Michigan wins for like, I think this is the sixth year in a row. Maybe seventh. I don't know. There's a lot of years. I lose track of them. But on the whole, what this means is that Michigan gets to, again, adorn my beautiful kettlebell-shaped body with a tattoo.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, a tattoo. Yeah.
I know you're in the process of figuring out what the tattoo will be, and I don't want to know that, in part because this is a podcast, not an inherently visual medium. But
right,
where is the tattoo going to go?
I think it's a back. I think we're doing a back shoulder throw here.
Okay.
I think it's the going same. Back, I think it's
the
going
same.
Back
is it the same shoulder that Totoro is on?
No. Now, if you don't know, I have a tattoo of Totoro from the Hayao Miyazaki classic.
It's pronounced Totoro.
Totoro. I have a Totoro on my right shoulder that is on his big fuzzy belly. He has a Michigan M. And that was because I was given latitude. That's the deal. I'm given a wide berth in picking what the themed tattoo is going to be. So I picked Totoro because I knew his adorable belly would be big enough to put a Michigan M on. So I did that. And this year it'll probably be the other side, is what I imagine. It'll be over on the left shoulder. Either left shoulder or left shoulder blade, depending on how good it looks. Do I have a design picked out? Yeah, man.
Can you get Captain Murphy from C-Lab wearing Bo Schembechler shades and hat?
You know, I could. I think that'd be a terrible idea, but I could.
Well, isn't that the point?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Can you put it on the right shoulder, though? Because, like, we really got to work on an entire overflowing sleeve here of just Michigan stuff.
Right.
Of just, like, a cavalcade of Michigan-themed fictional characters on my shoulder.
Yeah.
They should meet in that, like, I really should, for thematic sake, you know, put an Ohio State sleeve on the left. But they ain't give enough money to do that, did they?
Okay. No. New idea. This is kind of two tattoos, but I want you to stay with me. Left ass cheek leaders, right ass cheek best.
I already have that. Too late. I already got it. Sorry.
What had it happen if that way? You get on your naked torso a life-size replica of Jim Harbaugh's naked torso.
Wow.
Mm.
You know, like a muscle shirt.
Yeah,
but without any muscle.
Harbaugh muscle shirt, sculpted from milk and push-ups.
You have to line your nipples up, though.
Man, life's hard enough for my wife anyway.
I agree.
I mean, she's got to wake up to me, right? And that's what she would see every single day.
Divorce laws have been greatly liberalized. She doesn't have to. That's a compliment to you. She chooses to.
You know what? That's not helping anyone here, actually.
I suggested this privately, but I do sincerely want us to attempt to record a full cast episode while you're getting the tattoo.
Okay, we can do that. I will be getting it on Thursday, April 26th.
Okay.
At Only You Tattoo.
Bonus episode. Yeah.
What do you have a time picked out here?
I do. It's going to be at about 2 p.m. So
okay.
I have a lady. Because
I was hoping you were doing it during the first round of the NFL draft. Like,
Nope. It'll be 2 p.m. It'll be during business hours for everybody.
You know, because the first round of the NFL draft, Michigan didn't really have a whole lot.
I'll have you know, I picked my tattoo artist. Strictly based on, one, she could do the tattoo, which was by theme correct, right? And two, she also has the thickest accent in the shop. So that really helped, too. Like, you know, I definitely do pick my tattoo artist by accent.
You know those draft picks who don't go to the draft, but they're, like, ESPN or whoever sets up a camera to be like, here they are, watching with their family and eating chips or whatever. I do think it would be good if one of them, like, just got in a tattoo chair and just waited and was just like, the minute I get picked, put the team logo, just go to town. Here I am. I'm a Jet. Mostly because there's a good chance they'd be like halfway into it and be like, they traded the pick.
They traded the pick. Can you turn a Viking into a Steeler?
You're a Vram now.
Go Vrams.
You are now Eli Manning.
I mean, isn't that like who? I can't remember who the recruit who had the Auburn tattoo ended up going to Alabama was.
Was it D-Liner? I might be mixing it up, but I think I want to say it was D-Liner.
Or was it Landon Collins?
Oh, wait.
Yeah, wasn't it Reuben Foster?
Well, we've named at least three football players, and you say this isn't a college football podcast.
To be fair, we named all actual football players. No one from the movie Friday Night Lights or the TV show Friday Night Lights.
I do want to, while we're on sort of tangentially the subject, I do want to signpost AJ McCarron signed with a new team this offseason. This happened like weeks ago, but again, if you listen to this for sports news, you don't care. And that's good. That means that definitely on some NFL Sunday, we're going to get a like thoughtful 2-minute piece on AJ McCarron's tattoo. And it's going to blow so many people's minds. It's great.
No matter what I get, I can't ever get a tattoo as spectacular as AJ McCarron's entire chest hat. And that's for a lot of reasons. I'm not going to shave my chest hair and have it grow through like that. It's not in my future. AJ McCarron has a clean enough sort of palette that the artist can put a cityscape of Mobile. Like just one thing that's on there.
And I think, doesn't it have like a looming Jesus head? Like Jesus is the staple of Marshmallow Man come to destroy Mobile.
Oh yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's Jesus is in the movie Rampage. And it's got crystal football is like the power. Spencer, you got to get a Franklin, Tennessee skyline tattoo.
Just put the Sonic sign and the mega church right there.
Oh, look, there's the American Girl place.
Mm-hmm. Man, he's got the Squirkle on there. Look, if you get off at the third exit, it heads right to his ass crack. It's very romantic.
That's Nashville.
Jokes for 80 people. Hey, y'all. Yeah, I've got a pretty good idea of what I'm gonna get done tattoo wise, and I think everyone they'll be as happy about it as they can be, which means I think Michigan people will be happy about it, and I think everybody else will be like, "What the hell is that?" And that's perfect.
The good news, if for some reason your body is ever lost at sea,
or whatever, in the woods.
In the woods, yeah. And we're like, ah, geez, animals just ate the hell out of his face. We don't know who this is. They ate the teeth, too. I feel like you will have two very specific tattoos. We can be like, yep, that's Spencer. Gonna miss him.
We'll just hit him with the Google image search. Because you posted them on a website, so.
Remember, that's always the point of a tattoo, is so that you'll be easily identifiable when you die in the wild.
I'm not being very nice to you today, and I don't know why.
Coroners always have the best stories, right? And for me, like, the best story by far is the Georgia State coroner. When I heard him do a talk, he said he talked to all of these tattoo guys. Because tattoo guys are very, very handy in a forensic investigation, right? They can provide significant, unique identifying details, right? And he said, oh, yeah, man, so I got this guy, and I got this guy, and hey, we found this guy, like, headless, and he was, like, found headless, and they'd cut off his hands and his feet in order to, you know, make him unidentifiable, but, you know, we still got him because of the forensic evidence of the tattoo. And I said, man, wow, was that a random murder? And he goes, oh, no. If you wind up in a river with your hands and your feet cut off, and your head cut off, you did something to get there. I was like, what? He goes, I didn't say it was rational, but you definitely did something to get there.
Yeah. What was the tattoo?
I think it was ironically of a guy who had his head's hands.
Yeah, that's a good one to get.
This is what I want.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, hands.
Now, the flip side is, if you want to pose as Spencer and commit crimes, you also have sort of a guidebook to work through here.
You have an absurd guidebook.
Big beard, two Michigan tattoos, one TBD, glasses, tank top, shorts.
Just search Twitter for Spencer's handle and the words "this you," and you'll find like 80 photos to choose from. Just create a composite.
Yeah, photo. And then when the cops are like, "How big would you say the suspect was?" Be like, "I don't know, 600 pounds, 380."
So now what Spencer has, Spencer can go commit an actual crime, and like he's got the thing where, like, you know, dope boys wearing nothing but white tees. How are you going to pick out which one did it? You know, Spencer's got a whole Spartacus army.
As you can see, I don't weigh 578 pounds.
It's the most disturbing thing always to put your face on the internet ever. Like, you just shouldn't. You shouldn't ever put your face on the internet. It's just not a good idea. Don't do it, because you can't win, right? It doesn't matter. Like, you can put a photo of your hands on the internet. Someone will be like, nice hands. How long you had those hands?
No, this happened. This happened to me on your feed. I was holding up a taco. You took a picture of the taco, and people just roasted my hands.
Yeah, no. People will completely torch your hands, which is nuts, right? The people are like, yeah, you don't have normal hands.
Your
hands
actually, no, it went on IG, and everyone on IG was like, oh, that taco looks good. And it went on Twitter, and it was like, is there a witch holding your taco or something? You know, just caught the flames on Twitter.
It's not. Yeah, no. You don't do it, because people are bitter, evil, and sad on Twitter. That's why
Twitter,
I do real
Twitter,
well there.
Twitter doesn't know what a body looks like. If you ask Twitter to draw a body,
it's like a medieval anatomy class.
It's full of gears.
Yeah, like, no.
You ever look at old art? Like, did you fuckers even have people? What were you drawing? What is this supposed to be?
That may be what people looked like back then. In fairness, nutrition was terrible, and doctors barely existed.
Yeah, I enjoy too that I ended up looking up accidentally, because, you know, I was looking for a photo of the tattoo, the original tat, right?
Of your original tattoo?
Because
of the very first tattoo ever put on a person.
I don't understand what you were looking for.
Not organized stuff, too. I'll just look on the internet, right?
Where'd you go?
Did we chase him off? Did we body shame him away?
No, I think he's looking for the tattoo. He's searching through his files.
I love your beautiful body. I mean, in a friendly way. God. That's going to get written up for that.
What is the unfriendly way?
Okay, I'm back.
Hey,
we're sorry. We body shamed you away.
Yeah, that's okay.
Just leave all that in. That's good material.
We do.
We're 2 minutes closer to done now. Listeners seem to like episode length. That seems to be like one of the big criteria they judge this program by. They're always like, oh, that one was long.
Why are you treating this podcast like purgatory, where you're just like, just gotta burn off time, just doesn't just get a little closer to heaven.
We're just getting people through commutes and train rides and Godfrey through mowing his lawn.
Spencer, what tattoo were you looking for? Oh, we shamed him again.
That's the one question you mustn't ask him.
That's okay, the red. I think I'm back. I'm very sorry.
All right. Are you prepared to answer the question?
What tattoo were you looking for?
So I was looking for the original Totoro tattoo, right?
Hold on. You were looking for a photo of your tattoo?
Yes. Right?
What?
It's with you at all times. Why?
Well, that's correct.
Lose your tattoo?
What are you talking about? What?
Same place.
You don't need to find a photo of the tattoo. Just get your fucking phone out and take it.
Yeah, but that would take like a second, and it's easier to just look up the previous photo I had. Additionally, and this gets to my point, okay? That was already out there. Every bit of ammunition that I had given the internet, right, to talk about whatever deformity passes from my physique, I had already put in that photo. If I give you a new one, you have new ammo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I wasn't going to give you new stuff. I was going to give you the same old stuff. Here, look, doesn't look that much different. I'm obviously still the same person in that photo, right? So I looked that photo up. And I noticed a result for it on MGoBlock. Wonderful supporters of our fundraising. Very interesting group of people. Love them to death. On it, they were like, man, that's a blogger, man. Can't work out. Bloggers never work out. just like, man, that guy's rough. I will tell you, in this photo, I look like a normal... I look like a perfectly normal human being. I have a bad case of body dysmorphia anyway. If you ask me how much I'd weigh, I would sincerely respond, somewhere between 200 and 700 pounds. Not real sure.
It's hardest of all getting this from message board commenters who are all sex gods.
I mean, every message board, that's, I mean, people often say, Spencer, what's the hardest part of being on the internet? And I'm like, comparing my body to those of a message board poster. It's the hardest thing in the world. It's very difficult, but, you know, I somehow live.
Man, and have you ever been to the Midwest? My God, the physiques on these people.
Mm-hmm. I will tell you, at least in the South, you just get some big dudes. You're like, man, he's fat, but man, he can move a truck. In the Midwest, you're like, you're built for a sweatshirt. Yay, lucky you. You live in the Midwest.
We're all deeply unsexy.
Speak for yourself. Speak for yourself, sir.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's better this way. But we're all deeply, deeply unsexy.
Hmm.
And I'm all right with that. I was just
listeners will be the judge of this.
I was just reminded that no one on the internet, like the internet has so thoroughly broken people's brains that A, they don't know how hard football is, right? Like we talk about this all the time, that nobody knows how hard football is. They're like, you know, I could get around the corner on an offensive tackle. Just give me enough snaps. No, it's just not happening. It's not. You're not doing it. And they're like, oh, that wide receiver's slow. No, 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 no. You're slow. That wide receiver's fast as hell. He wouldn't be out there. Well, the coaches are stupid. They could read a watch. They can all read a watch. He might have other faults. He might be slow relative to what you're looking at, but everything you're looking at is blazing fast. And the same thing goes for bodies. Like, no one on the internet has an idea of what a body is. None. No one. Only women do, because women will actually do the thing where they go, you know what, ladies? Let's see a supportive thread. Why don't you show me what you look like? And ladies will sit there and go, man, here's a photo of me. I look fat as hell. Somebody's like, no, you look great. You look phenomenal. I mean, Your skin's glowing.
You tried this with dad fashion, but it was mostly a circle of loathing.
I was stunned. It's very like, I will write a little bit more about this later. But I was stunned at how uniformly positive it all was. Once you put it to men that they could act that way, all you needed to do was give men license to be nice. You just had to say, hey, dude, you know what? Why don't you just show me your dad looks? Dads would post like whatever. It couldn't be looking good. You couldn't actually attempt to look good on purpose, right?
Right.
But as long as it was a dad look, dads were like, oh, man, hey, that is nice. Classy, looking, flawless.
But did you fear that at any point someone would come through with like a clearly inauthentic dad fit and like, you know, stir up some shit and then suddenly you're the moderate, you're the admin of this thread. You're having to kick people out for looking too cute.
Yeah, no, I never had to. Never had
comfortable
to.
Comfortable right? waistbands I think, only.
I think there were one or two guys who were obviously thirst trapping like, yeah, you know. Doing this, or one guy had like a weird thing. One guy was like, yeah, you know, spend a lot more time with my kids now that I'm divorced. I was like, I don't want anything. I don't want to be near this discussion.
Honestly, but even that is like a pretty good version of that discussion.
Right. It wasn't like, yeah, I left my wife and kids so I can get on with real living. No, it wasn't. There were no Kirk Van Houtens, right? There was no like, I sleep in the race car bed now. No, there was none of that. Right? Even the divorce guys were like, be the dad. Rules. Looks really good. So I didn't have to, which was cool. Like, that was great. I love that. But, like, point is, most of the time, women do this. Women will be like, oh, man, that's so supportive. Not to say there aren't lady haters out there. They're the most lethal. But, on the whole, it's a much more supportive vibe. Then if you actually did this with guys, they'd be like, dude, you look like 8 garbage bags wearing a Burlington Coat Factory suit.
That's what you say, I am.
Yeah, that's because...
who I am.
That guy or 8 garbage bags in a Burlington Coat Factory suit?
I am 8 garbage bags wearing a Burlington Coat Factory suit, and I'm your attorney.
No, you're speaking of, I think that's a great segue.
Thank you.
You know, again, there's not much going on. Hey, Florida was fun. People got mad. There were some people online that Florida spring game involved throwing to former players, which was a big deal, by the way, in case you wonder why, I don't know, 30 of the world's stupidest people are mad about this online. It was a big deal because Jim McElwain didn't actually talk to anyone for 3 years. It wasn't like, hey, come back and be part of the former community and, you know, be a player and talk to these young guys and, be, you know, like extend the brand and, you know, and you know, leave your legacy here at the University of Florida. Now, apparently Jim McElwain just didn't talk to anyone for 3 years. So they had players back and they caught passes and threw passes and it was very fun. It wasn't a very serious spring game. And there's like eight. I'm lowering the number from 30 to 8 who were mad that this wasn't real competition. Yeah, it's a spring game. I hate to tell you, it's fake. They've done most of the work when you're not looking.
Go. Right? Yeah, you got to swing the other direction. You got to be like, set the field on fire. Cut players live on television. Do it all. No help. No helmets.
Herm gets it.
One knife. You want to make this team? Show me.
We're hiring. I got one spot.
Free for kids. Okay. Kids get in free to the spring game.
Yeah, kids get in free. It's great. Pool cue.
I do remain disappointed that after Michigan and a few other schools in the Midwest canceled spring games, but Michigan specifically, I do feel like Jim Harbaugh should have packed everybody up in the bus and said, we're going to Ohio State. We're just going to walk out on the field and see what they do. What's the worst? What's the worst thing that happens? They say like, no, you can't be here. And then you spend the next however many weeks of the offseason telling every coach's poll and AP voter, be like, it seems like Ohio State is scared. Kind of wonder why you'd rank a team that wouldn't even play us in a home game in the spring. Game that didn't even count. Seems weird that they wouldn't play us.
Could they sit there with those dunk contest like judges cards?
Right? And two. Like,
after every play, just putting up a zero.
I feel like if you're Michigan, the smart play is to face Ohio State as infrequently as possible because you could lose the spring game to Ohio State.
Well, but then you just say it was part of the plan.
That didn't count.
We're losing in the jar. We'll see you in a few months.
I just want to see them with like mouths full of hot dogs and popcorn, being like, "The rivalry is forever."
Again, we love you, Michigan, and thank you for all your generosity.
Thank you so much. You guys are the best, like absolutely the best, and totally gonna, you know, mark up my body with something semi-Michigan related. I promise. I'll take pictures. You can make fun of my big hammy upper arms.
I feel like I can say whatever I want about Michigan because you get all these tattoos. Like
that's true.
Like it's like, oh, they gave all this money to the charity drive. That's so nice. We should be nice to them. And it's like, that's already taken care of. I can say whatever I want.
Spencer got inked up for your sins.
It's true. You know, they could be like, man, you got Rich Rodriguez on there? That is problematic and weird.
There's levels to this. Not to Rich Rod, because that's above our pay grade, but let's give out some legal advice to real, live, stupid listeners who decided to send us legal questions. Why am I doing this? Because anytime like legal things enter the public consciousness, for some reason everybody has decided that I am their lawyer. Should Be Saturday, if you listen to the full cast, whatever. And so you know what? Yep, I am. I'm your lawyer now. And I am responsible for your well-being. And here's the thing. This might help you quite a bit. Because if it goes poorly, and it's probably going to go poorly, you get to turn around and say, well, I was denied effective assistance of counsel. And I can stand up in court and be like, yes, I don't even have an active law license anymore. Also, here's three episodes of this terrible podcast I do. Would you hire me as an attorney? No. This man wasn't competent to stand trial. You did a bad job, Judge. I'm going to go now.
That's some damn good lawyering. See? I mean good.
It's extremely good bad lawyering. So I'll start with this question from our friend. I just had it.
See, folks, a good lawyer brings his documents to court.
This is from Lucas Bloss at Lucas Bloss 22. can I legally make a TV show about a lawsuit about barbershop TV shows? Are either of you aware of the latest development in the heated barbershop TV show legal community?
So this is the case of Bama v. LeBron?
You've stylized it incorrectly. The plaintiff goes first, so it would be LeBron v. Bama.
No, it's the second one is whoever has home court.
I'm sorry, Bama's playing defense no matter who the case involves. Okay.
Fair. So LeBron James had his people send a fairly standard legal letter to Alabama for their barbershop interview show. Nothing super important happened there. I think they changed the name because it was somewhat similar to the name he uses for his. But by getting back in the news in the first place, somebody else is suing him for having a barbershop TV show and supposedly stealing the idea. It's a great circle. It's a great circle that we're having here, and I love it. So yes, you can absolutely make a TV show about a lawsuit about barbershop TV shows. And then more importantly, if I try to make this TV show, you can make a TV show about that lawsuit. You can just keep going forever and ever and ever. It's perfect.
It's a circle of litigation.
Yeah, just rack up those hours.
And then you can talk about it at the barbershop.
You can't do that.
So that is where you draw the line. Who owns that? LeBron, Ice Cube, Nick Saban?
Supercuts.
Okay.
Supercuts invented talking at the barbershop. And that's why we hate them for it. Not a sponsor of the Shutdown Fullcast. I hate talking when I get my hair cut, personally.
Yeah. Should we go on an anti-sponsor crusade? Like, whoever doesn't sponsor us, fuck them?
Sure. That's true. Yeah, absolutely.
You know what? That's why Toys R Us went under.
Supercuts. What's the super about you, frankly?
Cheez-Its. You ain't shit.
That would be the best Cheez-Its campaign ever. It would just be Cheez-Its taking an anti-customer viewpoint.
We don't need you.
For no apparent reason. Yeah, Cheez-Its. Yeah, you ain't shit, Marvin.
And not even like, you can't handle the cheesiness.
No. Just like, fuck you. Don't buy them. Then we'll eat them.
It backfires and there's just warehouses full of Cheez-Its.
Good. We don't have to go shopping for years now, you assholes.
And they're like, how are we going to keep the Cheez-Its from being eaten by moths and rats? And it's like, well, they're Cheez-Its. So,
yeah,
they'll be fine.
Please, rats aren't touching that shit.
See what happens? See, we got a sponsorship protection racket going here now. Who's next?
Yeah. No, you got it. Yeah, you got to sponsor us. We brought the thunder to Cheez-Its.
Cheez-Its stock price just tumbled 4 cents.
Dear God, did you see CZT went down?
You know the Cheez-Its Corporation, the board.
We've just decided to make Cheez-Its its own corporation, not a sub-brand of some much larger American hog fodder corporation. Right? What if we took pig food and made it into people food and then sold it in a box? Nope, Cheez-Its.
Yeah, it was founded by Derek Cheez-It.
Derek Cheez-It.
Yeah, it was actually Cheez-It. He was French.
It was part of the French Resistance. Steep fall. Yeah. All right, why don't you please pick a piece of legal advice for us to discuss?
Oh God.
Oh, who's unprepared now? See, everybody wants to talk shit. Oh, being a lawyer, so.
Oh awesome. No.
Oh, you waste all this money going to law school. Oh, look at you with your dumb video job. Nobody even knows what you do anymore, and you're the worst person on the full cast, and everyone hates you on the internet. What are we talking about?
It's a brand.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. You know, this one I want to explain a couple of ways. Dear Coach Leach, I don't know if we're going to answer it as Mike, but I definitely want to answer
it. That's fraud.
Explain.
Boom.
Explain how contract negotiations are processed under maritime law. Sincerely, ECU. I like that ECU just admits they're not even attempting to be law literate. That's good. That's good. The first step is admitting what you don't know. And the law is definitely something that I don't think East Carolina is real familiar with. If you did see, there was a big ecstasy ring out of a frat house in East Carolina with three different like dudes who just look like three different avatars of the dude named Chad, right? Like guy named Chad. You're like Chad 1, Chad 2, Chad 3. Chadrick, Chadwick, and Chadler. All of them. And it was fairly ECU until our colleague Kofi, yeah boy, figured out, oh yeah, it's super ECU because they confiscated a shotgun in a frat house. Yep. Yep, that'll do it. Every single time. Maximum ECU reached. So, how are contract negotiations processed under maritime law? Well, it's not entirely possible to really sum up the whole of pirate law in one word, paragraph, but basically it's a reciprocal kind of negotiation. I give you something, you give me something. And that's how they do things in pirate law. For instance, if I give you $3 million a year, I expect you to win football games. And if you don't, we end up marching you down the plank. That's how you do it. Which is how you know Florida wasn't necessarily negotiated under maritime law. Because apparently we just keep writing checks to people. It's neat.
All right, I got one. And this isn't even, I don't even know if this is funny or not. I just, it speaks to me deeply because I've wondered this. Michael J. Altman on Twitter. How are homeowners associations legal? It's my damn house. I'll put whatever I want in the front yard. I mean, I know the literal answer is like, well, you signed up when you joined the neighborhood. But still, damn it.
So let's see if we can think of an example of a collection of communities who are all just trying to do their best, trying to sort of find their way in the world. All kinds of people. Farmers, blacksmiths, merchants, trappers, whatever, silversmiths, beer makers, and somebody, a homeowners association, far away, shadowy, with unclear representation, says to them, hey, now you gotta do this. You can't have tea in your yard. There's a penalty for that. Stamps? We charge for stamps. You have to use HOA approved stamps. What happened to that little homeowners association?
Yeah, the annual dues were not paid.
Not
the swimming pool was used regardless.
Filled with blood. Filled with blood.
This was a super, like, I don't remember these particularly in, say, Georgia or Tennessee growing up. I remember them in Florida.
HOAs?
Like, oh yeah.
Okay.
Big time. This is a Pinellas County thing. So in Pinellas County, HOAs, they would get in these kind of super intense arguments, right? The kind that you only really get in when you find somebody who's got time for you, right? Like most people, they don't have time for you today, right? You do like something kind of off. They might, you know, they might get a little ticked. Occasionally, though, especially with something like a homeowners association where you really can't get away from it, it's always there. Right? Like, home is home, and when I get home, all of a sudden, the thing I'm pissed about is still home, right? I can't get away from it. Well, in the case of my wife's subdivision, there was an HOA where they had a dispute over something real petty. I don't remember what it was. It was like something in a front yard or something that wasn't supposed to be in a front yard. And basically, the finish to this story was the guy sued the HOA, won, bankrupted the HOA, and then sold his house.
Hell yes.
Like, yeah.
Now, you know, yeah. Now, can we be like a little bit serious for a moment? The real reason HOAs are a thing are because white Protestants didn't want non-white Protestants to live in the neighborhood. But, you know, being polite and respectful and all, they wanted to put it on the HOA. It's not me. Oh, I would love to have a Jewish family in the neighborhood. I would love to have a, but you know, I can't paint my house yellow, and I also can't have a black neighbor. I'm sorry. It's right. Just, the, I, it, you know, That's a $180 fine.
Yeah, it's just like how like every college is like, I can't play players. The NCAA said I can't. Anyway, time to go vote on NCAA stuff because I'm in charge of it.
My favorite thing is to create an abstraction of rules, a code, which says all of the bad things I want to happen or think, and then I blame that. Whew, right? You're gosh. Like, I don't know. I just it's the killing robot I created. Sorry. Yeah, what am I going to do about it?
HOA Moses delivered these long ago, and, you know, we adhere to them strictly. So, again, not actual Moses, because, like I said, we don't let Jews live in this neighborhood. Sorry about that.
Yeah, God said my fence can't be more than 6 feet high, so yours can't either.
So, yeah. So, go HOAs. They're about white people being shitty.
Kevin, the racist killing neighborhood HOA robot, he's just made that way. I can't do anything about him.
Why is it murder against the HOA rules? Well, you know, we can't do everything.
I mean, this is, please, we don't want big government interfering in things. Yeah, now about exactly. Kevin the killing robot.
It's states' rights. So I guess the equivalent of states' rights would be like cul-de-sac rights. In this cul-de-sac, you can murder. This is the murder cul-de-sac.
I love living on
Purge. This here's the cul-de-sac.
Welcome to Purge Acres.
Yeah, welcome to Purge Court. Purge Court's the best street in this neighborhood by far.
Hey, we're having a cookout. You want to come by and kill each other? That's allowed.
Kevin's going to be by. He's the nicest robot. He's a little killy. Mind him. I wanted to, if I could pick one, it would be, if you had to choose one legal TV show, be it procedural, drama, comedy, courtroom TV, to live on the set of the rest of your days, oh, choose carefully.
Oh, this is so, which one do you choose? This is so heartbreaking because we have a death in the legal television community today.
We do. Harry Anderson of Night Court, which I suspect might be Ryan's answer.
Well, I don't know if it would be or not, but it is funny because when I started pulling up these questions from Twitter and it's showing me what's trending, it says Night Court and Hannity right next to each other. I'm like, huh, okay.
Dum-dum, white nationalism. Dum-dum, deep state.
Now, I don't know that I'd necessarily pick Night Court because I don't think I could live with Larroquette. He seems tiring. He seems very tiring.
I think he'd be tiring. Also, the emotional unavailability of Marsha Warfield after a while would begin to wear on me.
Did you know that Sesame Street specifically recognizes the existence of Law & Order SVU?
I did not know that. How? Why?
In a couple of ways. First of all, they do a... And I got to look up the details of this. There's like an SVU style like episode in segment in one episode of Sesame Street. And that's like whatever. That's a little bit parody. So you can argue maybe it doesn't. But there are in multiple episodes, they will throw to one of the characters or one of the actors. It'll just be like, here's Ice-T. Here's Munch. Here's Stabler. In like their detective outfit, their tie, their jacket if they wear one, whatever, at the station, at the desk, it's clearly the SVU set. It's supposed to be the SVU set. They're supposed to be detectives working in the sex crimes unit. And they're just there being like, you know a word that I like? Frustrating. And they just do normal, Sesame Street segments. To be clear, lots of famous people go on Sesame Street. And they figure out a way for it to not be like, oh, okay, so let's see. What have you been in? Oh, James Spader, we're going to do Crash. We're going to do a Crash-themed episode of Sesame Street. It's going to be great. Kids are going to love it. You ever fuck a car?
So, are you trying to tell me Ice Cop Killer T has been on Sesame Street?
Yes. I'm pretty sure yes. The list of people who've been on Sesame Street is like, it's pretty. It's not the most exclusive club, is all I'm saying.
Okay,
Has he done one of those like dumb drug themed jokes on Sesame Street, right?
Probably. I mean, just there's a whole Wikipedia page for it. And right next to each other. All right. Buzz Aldrin has been on Sesame Street. Julie Andrews has been on Sesame Street. Who's right there in between them in alphabetical order? Jason Alexander. They're not just like, you don't have to be extremely famous or special to be on Sesame Street. I have a question
for the two of you.
Sorry. Yeah.
From at Stu Da Baker 2013. What's the biggest crime you'll admit to committing? I don't have to answer this because I already have on this program.
That's true. You have.
At one point or another.
God.
I'm sorry. What was our question again?
Friend. Spencer's going to have a better answer for this than I will.
No, Ryan, you got to find something.
I mean, probably when I was writing. Well, yeah, this is easy. This goes back to the thing. All lawyers who work for a law firm, it's not necessarily the same if you work for like the government or your in-house counsel or something. You bill your time, and you bill it in 6-minute increments because life is hell and you should be made to feel that in very specific apportioned ways. But it's not just a matter of like, oh, 6 minutes, I did this or whatever. I was working. I was working for 6 minutes. No, you're supposed to say, like, what case you were working on? For what client? What were you doing? There are almost certainly billings that exist where Fortune 500 company that shall be not named here. Yeah, I billed you for writing EDSBS bullshit.
Damn.
Yep.
Damn.
Come take my license.
We'll wait for that.
Did Spencer get body shamed again?
He'll be back. I think he's probably trying to like tabulate which his biggest crime was.
My biggest crime.
Like calculating it by monetary value, like you know.
Damages caused or by thickness?
By calorie count.
Yeah, I mean. A short list of crimes committed, right?
Right.
What about transporting drugs across state lines?
That's pretty. Lots of people have done that.
I mean, lots of people have done that, but by cash value?
What quantity do you estimate we're talking about?
I mean, over a lifetime?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of small amounts, but they'd probably add up. I don't think I'd be facing. Man, I'd probably be facing felony. I don't know. Felonies are way too easy to get. Quote me.
I was going to say, if Jeff Sessions could probably find a way.
Oh, look, he's got four. He transported 4 pounds of marijuana over his entire lifetime. I think he should be executed. Someone get me his steps, too.
Because he's short. It's the joke I have on him. He's otherwise just he's an awful human being. He didn't even go to Bama undergrad. When you're like, hey, how you talk that way about a Bama man? He didn't go there undergrad. He's went to the law school. I'll put that evil on him because it's his. He's got to own it.
As your lawyer, I'm going to stop you before you go any further.
Yeah. biggest crime by cash value. I'm going to come back to that because I didn't do it. Like, I remember reading something about a guy who was working and did something like he dropped an air conditioning unit off a crane.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
And you know, that cost like millions. and then he was like later and then quit. So I don't know if that's a crime.
Did you do this?
Maybe. No, I didn't. I didn't do anything that bad. I think once when I was really, really broke, I accidentally like hit a car in a parking lot and drove off. And I left a note that basically said this: "Hi, I'm real broke and hit your car. I'm very, very sorry, but I'm leaving." which if you know, like, what's my most Florida man moment? That I mean, like, hey man, I'm real sorry about that. I'm totally just gonna get out of here.
What that would get you into Florida heaven. They'd be like, oh, you tried, you big stupid dipshit, you tried.
You it was a note, yeah.
You tried to be good.
That's the worst part, is that, you know, there's like an attempt to be semi-moral without actually doing the moral thing, no, right?
No, not even vaguely.
No. It was like, hey, I shot your dog. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Anyway, here's a note about shooting your dog. Later.
The most Florida version of good is merely acknowledging doing something bad. Not really apologizing, not making it right, just copping to it. That's it.
Yeah, I did it. That's crazy. Anyway, this manatee's gone. He's not coming back.
Who's to say why?
Yeah. Nature is cruel.
Everyone has a time. If you think about it, it's not necessarily my fault. Maybe he had cancer. Maybe I'm a hero.
Don't cry for him. We all have a part to play.
Think of all the hungry fishes who'll be able to survive on him.
We're all children of the winter. We're all children of God, so it's just an act of God.
Even this manatees aren't children of God. Who made those? God didn't make those.
They're kind of like
manatees were. If God made those, manatees were a first fucking draft.
Yeah. Well, the manatees are kind of the bumbling, floating, like waiters of, you know, God's world, right? Like, can I get you a beverage? Whoa, a speedboat!
Manatees were God trying to say, like, I wonder if I can make a person with my left hand. Being like, oh man, definitely not. Oh, that is ridiculous.
God tried the no look.
Wow. I'm going to make a sexy lady. No look!
Let's leave those things underwater.
Ooh, give them to the sailors.
Leave those in Florida. I think like Australia is where he puts like all his like, okay, let's just tuck this away where no one will find it.
Yeah, I'm going to make a cute dog. Yeah, you made a redback spider. Oh, dear. Just put that in Australia.
What if I put guns on a panda? What are you talking about, God?
That's in Australia.
I am Grant Gordon.
And I'm Ravi Gurumurthy, and we're your co-hosts of a new podcast called Displaced from the Vox Media Podcast Network and the International Rescue Committee, where Grant and I work.
Right now, the world is witnessing the largest displacement crisis since World War II. That is, the largest number of people who've been displaced because of conflict. If you want to understand why that is and what can be done about it, listen to Displaced.
You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of animals, I do want to answer this question from our good friend Janie Campbell at It's Janie C. What is the funnest way to run afoul of the Fish and Wildlife Commission in the off season? I'm going to assume, because Janie lives in Florida, that she means the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission. So I did a little research, as any responsible lawyer would do. The Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, I should say, has a variety of interesting portions of their website. But I settled on python hunting. A lot of rules about python hunting in Florida. Mostly because Florida is overrun with pythons. Vote Rick Scott for Senate. So pythons can be humanely killed on private lands at any time with landowner permission. No permit or hunting license required. And the FWC encourages people to remove and kill pythons from private lands whenever possible. Whenever possible. But again, get permission. That's got to be a weird conversation. Like, hey, you got like 8 pythons in your backyard. You cool if I kill those? Ugh. Sorry. Kind of got a weird sex thing going on later. So, need you to not. But there are rules to python hunting. For instance, unless you have a python removal permit, a real permit you can get in the state of Florida, the greatest state in the in the union, live pythons may not be removed from these areas. I think that's kind of bullshit, because I think the test for whether you can get a python removal permit should be, can you remove a live python successfully? If you do, great. You pass the test. Here's your permit. If you don't, it's not really an issue anymore. If you take a live python out and it didn't work out, I don't think the state's going to be like, whew, yeah, well, your half-digested corpse, we're going to have to write you up. It's $400. It's got to come from somewhere. But good news is python skins or meat may be kept and or sold. Please note, this is in bold. Burmese pythons from Everglades National Park have been found to have very high levels of mercury. Therefore, meat from pythons harvested in Florida may not be recommended for human consumption. So again, just, you know, demand that you get your python meat from quality dealers. Not Cheez-It. Cheez-It python meat? Garbage. They don't screen for shit.
Florida's out here with fucking radiated pythons.
Don't buy python-flavored cheese. Don't buy python-flavored Cheez-Its. They're
don't
not
feed
good.
Your python. Don't feed your python Cheez-Its and you won't have a radiated python.
I don't think that's what mercury is, but it's fine.
And no, now. We're on that extortion thing. We're like, hey, Cheez-Its give you mercury poisoning. That's not actually true, legally speaking.
We're lawyers, not scientists.
It's satire. We can do that.
I also like that there's a whole, I haven't even clicked on it, exotic pet amnesty program. Sure. Absolutely. Fucking
does
great.
That mean like if you find a dragon or something?
I think it's just basically it's so, you know how there are like gun buybacks where the cops or some local part of your municipality will be like, hey, no questions asked, you come in, you give us a gun, we give you, you know, $50 to Applebee's or some shit like this. This is like that, but for illegal pets.
So this is like, hey, be cool, I got a gorilla. I'm giving it to you.
I'm giving it to you. Yes. The best part is, I have clicked now because I couldn't help myself. So they have exotic pet amnesty days throughout the state. They're free. Everyone is welcome to attend. They encourage kids and families to see exotic animals up close. Which, yeah, this is a place where people are bringing their exotic pets that they admit they are not responsible enough to keep. So I'm not sure I'm bringing my child to that, but you know what? It's Florida. Sometimes you just need
something. Yeah, so you're like, hey, here's my fighting kangaroo. And there's just kids, like, petting it while I'm turning it in, and he's wearing handcuffs?
Correct. So, in total, they had the first event in 2006. Six animals were surrendered total. Pretty sad start. I am happy to report that they peaked in 2012 when they held six events and 279 exotic animals were surrendered. All told, this program has over 2,500 animals that they have had handed over to them. God, Florida, you're just killing. You're literally killing it.
I know we say this a lot, but that's the most Florida thing I've ever heard. That is the new most Florida thing I've ever heard. Just a traveling roadshow of freakish animals that are illegal that you can just.
They're having one in St. Pete in May. Maybe we should do a live show there.
I will tell you that in Martin County, Florida, in Port St. Lucie, there's an animal rescue. And if you go to their page from time to time, it works like this. Pitbull, cat, wallaby, cat. Wait. The hell? Like, who brought in a kinkajou? I don't know. I don't even know what a kinkajou is, but we got three of them.
You go back and click on the shark and, oh, already got. He's already been adopted.
No, man. Somebody...
That shark has found his forever home.
Scooter chases cats because he's a shark.
He's not housebroken.
Yeah, he's not housebroken because he's a shark. He has a terrible attitude because he's a shark.
So, honestly, Janie, I think the answer is go to one of these adoption days and just interview as many people as you can. Just be like, so why? So, again, why? Why a timber wolf? Tell me more.
In Florida. A polar bear. We have a polar bear in Florida.
Did you get high and watch White Fang? You did get high and watch White Fang. I knew it. There's one at every exotic animal day. Next question. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I have one that I can actually answer. Perfect. From Steve Gherkin. I forgot to tell my landlord that I'd be moving after my lease and it automatically renewed. How do you recommend I get out of this? So, as your attorney, I'm going to advise you to find a whatever this operation is that you're paying money to, well, that you were paying money to, not going to do it anymore. We're going to get you out of this. You find a desk that they have, a desk that someone sits behind, and you do what I do to get out of every situation I've ever got out of. You stand in front of that desk and you look really confused. And then you just wait. Eventually, they'll get sick of you and they'll tell you to go away and you don't have to give them any money. It works in every situation. Just look really confused and make it clear to them that, like, they either have the choice of they can expend a lot of energy to explain things to you and, like, walk you through this process, or they can just say, get out of my sight, you piece of shit. So, works every time.
That's surprisingly good advice, I hate to say.
Thanks.
I think also in evictions, if you know a real G out there, like somebody who's a super, super boss type about evictions, who's done all this stuff before, you'll know this. Apparently, sometimes you can get the sheriffs to take your stuff to your new apartment or to wherever you're staying.
I mean, it's just easy. It's on the way.
I knew somebody who did that. She's from Arkansas, and she's just like one of those people who's like, what are the cops going to do? Arrest my couch? Because, you know, I think everyone else gets evicted, and they're like, oh my God, how did this happen? Why did life get to this point? There are people, though, who, when they get evicted, are like, well, Sergeant, you going to take me to my next place or not?
This one comes from Tweej at JMB22392. My ex attempted to sue me for $200. Fun story. Was my strategy to ignore it until she gave up the correct strategy? Did it work? Yes. If it worked, yeah. If it didn't, no. That's the most lawyerly answer I can give you. If it worked, you did the right. Yep. Great job. If it didn't work, well, bad choice you. Being a lawyer is the ultimate Monday morning quarterback. It's great. We don't have
to. It sounds like you're valuing results over process.
Yeah, that's literally all lawyers do, except the annoying ones. There are the annoying ones who are all like, well, in process. But they're not the big ball lawyers who win in court.
So it's like the opposite of football, where the guy who wins is always talking about process.
I like that you're like, yeah, the lawyers who know the rules, the nerds. Nerds.
Those guys don't ever get to work at the White House.
What? Yeah, there's no evidence of anybody, you know, having that come back to bite them right now, today.
Every day.
Forever.
Constantly, until we pass through this hell we're in, we won't.
It's good. It's fucking great. God. We should do... here's a legitimately good one. Or here a legitimately helpful one. From Andrew Del Toro at Stonecutter7. What exactly is illegal about paying NCAA basketball players? As far as I can tell, the money wasn't embezzled or misappropriated. It's, of course, referring to the pending federal criminal case against various members of shoe companies and mostly like assistant coaches, I believe, around college basketball. Are either of you like terribly familiar with this case? If we had Alex Kirshner on, he could probably explain all of it, but
so I believe that it's the feds are going for fraud, right? Because they were steering these kids toward specific deals that I don't know.
Yeah, it's
I don't know. Like, it's not like the feds have other things going on.
No.
Right, like the feds didn't care about NCAA rules. They were just like, here's a high-profile target. We can get him on fraud.
And yeah. The case has sort of changed recently, where it seems that now it's sort of been... For a while, it was sort of suggested that this was against NCAA rules, and they were sort of prosecuting it as if that was in some way like a violation of the college's right to control its own purse strings or whatever. But now it's sort of being changed and sort of like, well, these are colleges that receive federal funds and therefore they're maybe misusing the federal funds. I don't know. But now it's sort of like that the colleges themselves are the victims, as if it's a matter of, well, you wouldn't have given the scholarship to this young man if you knew that he was only coming because of shoe money. If he didn't love State University, well, you never would have... It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Perish the thought.
What the
Perish
fuck?
The thought of attending NC State out of anything other than deep, deep love for NC State.
It's just, I, here's the thing. I don't know. I don't, this case, I remember when it came out, everybody was like, oh, fuck. The FBI's involved. The Department of Justice. The Southern District of New York. Serious institutions. And I still don't know what the fuck this, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know who cares. I don't know who this matters to. I don't care if shoe companies give their money to high school basketball players. I definitely don't care enough to want there to be like a federal prosecution against it. I think it's funny when you give your money to a high school student and he doesn't do what you thought he was going to do. I think that shit's great.
Yeah, I'm really... this goes in more than one dimension of current affairs. I am most intrigued by the school of law employed by the vested wealthy or powerful that insists that the dumb thing I did is in fact a crime if somebody doesn't go along with it, right? Right? Like, I put out free cake! Cake that the government doesn't control, and somebody just took it and walked off with it! It's crazy!
It was one piece each! There was a sign.
I put a note on there. The post-it constitutes a legal mandate.
It said, please share. But now
All I did was money launder.
Now there
What's
is
wrong with that?
Now there is a really good...
The money was dirty.
There is a really good wrinkle to this case recently. Where, so basically the government, I think, again, I'm not like super familiar. I didn't take this job so I could read a lot of fucking legal documents, you assholes. The government's theory is basically the shoe companies give this money to assistant coach X. Assistant coach X makes sure that it gets to the player or the player's family or whatever in exchange for them to sort of have a long-term to go to school affiliated with the shoe company. And hopefully, if they have a good, you know, 1 year in college, go to the NBA, eventually sign with that shoe company, etc. It's an interesting theory, I guess. It's not. But the best part is, some of the assistants have been like, yeah, I just kept the money, actually. So, I don't know what to tell you. I don't know how I could have been, inducing this kid. I make nothing. So, yeah, I definitely kept that $80,000. I'm sorry, but I did.
Which was, that was a heroic thing to do, actually. Because you're robbing from fraud guys. The feds come in here like, yeah, I was holding it for you, but then I bought a car.
You're an honorary fed now, son. J. Edgar Hoover. Wow.
The best part
Junior Fed.
Saying it all out loud is the best part, right? Like, I am the negligent juror in every case because most of the time in things like this, I'm like, oh man, that sounds awesome. Somebody's like, yeah, you know, the plaintiff brought in 500 kilos of
all
cocaine
inside
a jet ski. Be like, yeah, awesome. Like, yeah, we need to excuse this guy. This is not working. Or if it's a bunch of adults who are like, yeah, we gave like 50 grand to this 17-year-old. What did he do with it? I think he spent it all on, you know, like Beyblades. Like, he just spent it all on expensive tops. And, you know, and I'm like,
they're collectible.
We had a business agreement. And I'm like, you run a shitty business.
And you just testified to it in court. You just admitted you got owned by like a kid before you ever got graduated high school. I could do this all day. Your Honor, I want to dismiss the case. Hell no! I got 6 more weeks of watching adults admit this is what they do for a living. Get the NCAA up here. What do you guys do?
Well, yeah, we tried to figure out whether this guy took like $500 from somebody to play football.
And how do you do that? Well, we ask. What if they don't want to answer?
Then we ask. Then we ask someone who already doesn't like them.
We ask their ex friends.
How do you sleep?
Not really
like,
well.
How do you go home?
Not great.
What do you tell your mom you do for a living?
Sleep on exactly $17.61 of lodging per night.
You're like, what do? I distract people on the internet for a living, and that's so much more dignified than what you do.
Well, hang on. That's not all we do. Sometimes we punish children for making money on their own. Oh, you mean like by selling drugs? Well, no. If they're musicians... That's not okay. We stop that. We kill music for a living.
That's how we do it. It's amazing. We all we do for a living is basically keep people from getting amounts of money that would purchase extremely shitty cars. That's it. All I want to do is keep somebody. I want to keep somebody from buying a Ford Tempo. That's it. That's all I'm gonna do.
I really like that our legal episode has gotten us to a point where it's like, all right, now these three lawyers, three geniuses of the law, are going to put their minds together and try to figure out the NCAA.
When you find out that a school gave somebody a Ford Tempo, what do? We make sure that they don't give a scholarship to some other kid.
Yeah, that's what we want to do. We want to make sure that
that's the fair thing. That's the
it's to rob the opportunity from somebody else. Oh, and by the way, I do all this from a gigantic building in Indianapolis that sells a basketball tournament once a year where all we do is control what cups people use. That's it.
I love this because it's like if the government went to a bank and were like, hey, we found that you're like embezzling customer funds, you're like adding fees that aren't supposed to be there, we want you to fire the people involved. They were like, okay, we talked to the NCAA and they said as long as new employees get a 15-minute shorter lunch break, then that's a penalty enough. Also, we won't go to the bank convention for 2 years. Won't go. Won't do it. We good?
And also, Chip Kelly can't work here for a while.
Chip Kelly has to have a very good reason to work here.
That's it. We're gonna make sure that he has to go. Yeah. What about the entire profession? No, he can go work other places.
like a bigger bank. Oh yeah, the biggest bank.
Oh yeah, he can go get a better job. Sure.
Oh yeah. Like a better job where he actually makes more money and doesn't have to do this weird thing where we just convince people to kind of. I don't know. Go to the school because you like it. Definitely not paying you. Back to that thing.
He could go have actual employees for a few years.
Yeah,
then
sure.
Then he'll have to come back.
But... Yeah. Then we'll bring him back.
All right. You know,
that'll be fine because that all proves something.
Let's having legally defended the NCAA, you're welcome. Mark Emmert, we will be sending you a bill. Stupid ass.
There are adults who do this all day. That's all they do is they make up rules to defend this gigantic basketball tournament. And occasionally they show up and they ask 19-year-olds in Mississippi for pee in a cup. That's what they do. How do you not die from shame? I need to learn this skill.
They used to have to care about bagel toppings. They cut themselves some slack on that.
It's amazing.
Yeah, they're really good. They're really going to drop the hammer on Ole Miss. What are you going to do to Ole Miss that life hasn't done already? It's as fermented could get. Leave it in the ground another 30 years.
Now, I will say, the
punishment for Ole Miss is fewer people have to go to Ole Miss.
What do you have to do? Well, now we just have to find even more illicit ways of paying people to play this game. Oh, like that wasn't going to happen anyway.
On the plus side, our admissions rate just got a little more competitive. Hello, U.S. News and World Report. I will say, the NCAA used to have a really good penalty that they don't use anymore, which proves how, like, feckless and not actually interested they are in this, which is, if you really got in trouble, but it wasn't death penalty worthy, this used to be a thing, and it's amazing to think about now. They'd just be like, you don't get to play on TV. You don't get to play. And it's the one penalty that, as stupid and boring as the NCAA is, I do wish they'd bring back, because it would flip everyone out in the stupidest, best ways. Not necessarily just the team involved, but if you did this for an SEC team, if you did it for Ole Miss, for example, and you're saying you don't get to play any games on TV this year, you're off. You just told Bama and Texas A&M and Arkansas and LSU and Auburn, you just told them you have one game you can't watch on television at all. It'd be amazing, and we need to bring it back.
Also, you just told Bama, you have a game where no one can see what you do. Like, legends emerge of the scores, like 500-0. My God, it was horrifying.
I like the idea
that we had a very effective Saturday. It was very effective. We're very pleased with our team.
It was played for the national championship. Texas A&M, yep.
UCF swoops in and claims.
Yep.
Yeah, we played Ole Miss.
Yeah, it was awarded. There's a newspaper report about it. Yep. That was a national championship game. We played in October because we're more efficient than other schools. We don't need to wait till January. Do our national championship.
You know what would happen, right?
What?
Oh, you'd get this. You'd get the guy with, like, the way we watched Hawaii when Hawaii wasn't on TV, right?
And shitty there was some periscope. Guy in
the, and he periscoped the entire, like, Hawaii-San Jose State game on his phone, and 500 people were watching it. That's what they do, except it'd be like 500,000. There'd be like 8 Aggies, and they try to triangulate, right? Like, okay, switch to Aggie 4-4. World War II was cool up in Section 83. Okay, for this, like, they'd get like a whole production board together. They'd be like, yeah, be like, get Trump fan 89 nuts. Get him up there. Get it, because we gotta broadcast that too. Here we go. Oh, we got a production going, boys.
Oh my god! All that to see Ole Miss A&M.
I kind of want them
on like a clipping penalty or something.
I kind of want them to. I want them to try this anyway this year, right? To be like, boys, you don't need to pay for cable. Aggie Vision's on.
Which team would want to get the TV ban, though? Would, like, UConn be like, oh, man, yeah, we've been breaking all kinds of rules. You better not let anybody see any of this, because, whew, that would be a great punishment for us. We would really learn our lesson.
Like, what team is going to suck this year, and they don't want it on TV, but they definitely want to watch it, right? Like, what team's in for it and has lost, like, a bunch of talent?
This is actual football content. I wasn't prepared.
Yeah, whoa, buddy.
Come on,
whoa.
Asshole.
Whoa.
I know. I'm asking an actual question. But, like, all right, for instance, Ole Miss. I think Ole Miss is still a good pick here. Right? Like, who's going to want to watch this Matt Luke squad? Don't know about that.
I think West Virginia can work if you can convince Dana Holgerson that it's because it's due sexual.
You're playing after hours, buddy.
Dan Holmes is like, can I watch this year through static, through lines, like old porno on cable?
Are you saying we're on Cinemax?
We're running the spice offense.
This is actually how I've only watched film. I've only
huh? We were on TV?
Think of the shit. Think of how much Dana Holgerson plays with his genitals during a broadcast game. Now imagine the cameras are gone. Oh, yeah, he just dropped trout, pissed on the sideline, didn't give a shit.
It's magnificent.
He didn't even pee that much. He clearly didn't have to go that badly. He just did it. Yeah.
Like when you take a dog outside and the dog's like, I don't gotta go, but this is mine now. This is mine now. This is mine now. This is mine now.
Welcome to the Wet Shoe Diaries.
Coach, what, do you really want Kansas's track that badly?
Maybe. I don't know.
Can you run track now?
Can you run dogs on it? Can you bet on them? Boom, I got a casino. Let's before we wrap, let's do this one from 21 average at DBBBM. I might have put an extra B in there. Nobody will know. 52. Which coach is most likely to represent himself in court? Again, let me frame this. This is the worst thing you can ever do. The dumbest, worst, stupidest thing you could ever do is represent yourself in court. So I will let you, Spencer and Jason, start this conversation.
Can we remind everybody of somebody who has considered this allegedly? Donald Trump's lawyer!
My soon-to-be predecessor, Michael Cohen.
That's right.
Doesn't Mike Leach have a law degree?
Mike Leach does have never, a law degree.
And he would never represent himself in court. I really don't think. Like, we're like, oh, Mike Leach is eccentric. Yeah, he's got a law degree. They taught him that. He's not going to disobey that. That's gravity. You don't represent yourself in court.
To do this, you need to have an extremely inflated sense of self-importance. You need to really not work well with others. You need to kind of be not that trusting, think you're the smartest person in the room, call everybody an asshole, shit like that. And you need to just sort of make bad choices. So tell me who fits all three of these. I honestly don't know.
I'll be Petrino!
Fuck.
I will be representing myself, Your Honor. As you can clearly see, my client didn't do anything wrong.
I told you we're all unsexy. I told you. So this is weird because normally we just end the podcast saying something disturbing and haunting like we just did. But we can't. We won't this week. And we have a good reason. It's because of what, Spencer Hall?
Oh, well, because the Vox Media Podcast Network, what we appear on, they've launched a show called Displaced, which, relevant to this week's intro and to the EDSBS charity drive, it's focused on humanitarianism. It's produced in partnership with the International Rescue Committee, also known as the IRC. They're a fine organization, even though at one point they did employ me.
What did you do? What did you do for them?
I ran education programs for high school youth. So I ran an after-school program that helped high school-aged refugees catch up with American work. And this sounds so funny if you imagine me in charge of it. But I swear it was my job at one point. And I was not terrible at it. There are a lot of different layers to that operation, though. And this show, which covers a lot of them, is available on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this show. Shut down full cast.
I can't dunk on you for that job. That's the problem. If you have friends who work for charitable institutions or nonprofits or whatever, by and large, you can't dunk on them. Even if they're like so-so or even bad at the job, you know? That's why we need capitalism, so that we can dunk on each other for being bad.
That's it. Otherwise, you're just actually doing things for humanity. You know, as long as you're doing no harm, as long as it's not like, yeah, you know, I work for a nonprofit. What do? I'm just handing out guns. Just handing them out. Anyone who wants one.